All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of TKO, Tactical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
What's going on?
Today, we're going to talk about UFC 292. There's a lot of really exciting fights on here, and I'm excited to get into it. We're going to start with the main event, Aljamain Sterling versus Sean O'Malley. Let's get right into it. All right.
Man, so you know it's always fun to talk about Sugar Sean O'Malley, so I'm excited.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this is a very interesting matchup, you know? I mean, any bantamweight main event is an interesting matchup, like we've talked about on this pod before, but especially when you got these two guys going for the belt, who I really do feel, you know, at least in Sterling's case, these are definitely like two of the top guys at bantamweight. So it's good to see them actually fighting for the belt rather than dicking around in the top five, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm excited for it. It looks very, very interesting on paper, but I'm hoping that it doesn't turn out to be one of those things where it's less interesting in the cage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, honestly, I don't know if there's a lot of potential for that. I feel like it's going to be a blowout on either side. You know, if O'Malley wins, obviously I'm expecting a knockout. Sterling's been knocked out before. It's been years, but he has been knocked out before. He got caught with that head kick by Marlon Moraes, so it was more like a knee, but it's supposed to be a head kick. O'Malley, you know, he has pretty dangerous kicks, but I think his hands are really where his power lies. So I'm interested to see if he can get the boxing going against Sterling. If he does, I think, you know, it's not crazy to say that he could get Sterling out of there. But I honestly think the more likely scenario is that Sterling uses that wrestling, and exactly, you know, he's just so much better on the ground than O'Malley is. And if he can get him down early, I think he can submit him quickly. And if not submit him, you know, get into a position that he can't get out of and force the ref to stop the fight.
That's exactly what I think. I think that my heart lies with Sean O'Malley. That's what I would love to see win. You know, I like the story that he's been building. I'm about it. I'm about the momentum and everything. But I think the wrestling aspect of it and the grappling aspect of it is just going to be too much for Sean to handle. I think I'm not saying that he can't defend the takedown and that he's not, or that he can't, you know, get back up, but like, can you get back up 2, 3, 4, 5 times over the course of like a potentially 5-round fight? You know, that's something that I do question.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he got taken down a lot against Piotr Jan, and Piotr Jan is a good wrestler, but he's definitely more of like a trip guy than a, you know, like a traditional shoot guy, double leg, single leg guy. Sterling certainly has that game in his back pocket of the, you know, the long drawn out shots and chain wrestling and stuff, things that O'Malley really hasn't seen. You know, up until that Piotr fight, and you know, even including that fight, he's really fought mostly strikers in the UFC. He hasn't really fought like a phenomenal grappler yet. I mean, the closest thing would be somebody like Paiva, who was a flyweight that was moving up in weight. Besides that, he's really fought mostly strikers, and you know, of course, he's done very well against them. The lone loss to Chito Vera, who, you know, there's no shame in losing to Chito. But yeah, I don't know, dude. I think Sterling just has too many tools in the belt. You know, he's got the wrestling. He's got good kicks of his own too. He can stay on the outside and use those kicks, light kicks.
If I felt that Sean was able to completely negate, or for the most part negate the wrestling aspect of it, I would really lean heavily towards Sean. Like if this is a straight up like boxing or kickboxing match, I'd be like Sean O'Malley all day.
Yeah,
but the question is Sean O'Malley going to be able to turn this into a boxing match, a kickboxing match, you know, a striking affair? And I think that Aljamain's wrestling is going to be able to dictate too much of the fight, and the points where Sean O'Malley might be able to like get some flashes of brilliance going, you'll see Aljamain starting to shoot in and neutralize it, and I just don't think he's going to get momentum going.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he does start to get something going, I just feel like the wrestling is too strong on Aljamain Sterling's side. I know I'm sounding like a broken record, But, you know, he takes everybody down, everybody that he's fought, including Olympic gold medalist Henry Cejudo. So, I mean, if you can take down Henry Cejudo, I think you're going to be able to take down Sean O'Malley, whose takedown defense is not that great and has yet to face a great wrestler like Aljamain. Well, so, I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered here.
I will give him this, that they are always very well, you know, he's always pretty well prepared. So you got to think that him and his team are working exclusively on that. You know, that's probably that's probably what they're banking on is like, you know, as long as if we can defend the takedown, if we can keep this on the feet, you know, then we got a shot to crack him a couple times. So, you know, they might, that might be all they're doing is like shot sprawl, shot sprawl, shot sprawl. So, you know, one thing I will say about Sean O'Malley is very, you know, he seems very smart. He seems very good about surrounding himself with the right people in a lot of different business aspects, which you know, is a whole other thing. So, you know, I think that he will come in prepared, but there's a difference in being prepared in practice and then, you know, being prepared once that cage shuts.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, even if he is very well prepared and has been, you know, I trust him to be doing the wrestling work throughout these last few months and last couple of years altogether. But even still, those couple years and couple months of hard wrestling aren't going to match up to the decades of experience that Aljamain has on the mats, you know. I mean, you know, it's like UFC 1, you know what I'm saying? The grappler versus the striker. And typically the grappler will win, man. You have to be really well-rounded to negate a very strong grappler like that. You know, we've seen guys like, you know, a classic example for me is Jorge Masvidal versus Damian Maia. Where, you know, it's as clear a striker versus grappler matchup you can get, but Masvidal is very well-rounded, so he was able to defend a lot of those takedowns, even though I think he still did end up losing that decision. He had a very good showing for himself. And I just don't really expect O'Malley to have that well-rounded game. I mean, he showed some really nice wrinkles in his game against Piotr Jan, but even still, a majority of those were from the striking standpoint. And, you know, even let's say, you know, that Sean has been working on his grappling very well, and he's able to stuff the first takedown. Aljo doesn't even need a takedown to get you to the ground. You know what I mean? Like, if you watch that Sandhagen fight, he doesn't shoot on him. He pushes him against the cage, and then he climbs his back like a monkey, and he's one of the best backtakers in the sport, if not the best backtaker. Him and Alessandro Pantoja are, like, my top two backtakers. And
if he takes Sean's back, it's over.
Yeah, I expect the fight to not last much longer if Aljo gets that position. You know, Jan was able to defend very well. I don't think O'Malley has those same tools on the ground. And even if he does, I expect Sterling to fight with a little bit more venom if he gets to that position. And if he gets there, if he doesn't get the choke, I think he'll be able to turn him around into mount and just kind of, you know, smash him, for lack of a better term. And
you think O'Malley can eke out a decision like he has he did against Piotr Jan?
I honestly don't see this fight going the full five rounds. I think it'll be a finish on either side. I think if O'Malley wins, he's going to knock him out in the first two rounds. If Sterling wins, he's going to submit him in the first two rounds. I don't even know if this fight will get to the third round. I'd love to see how the styles clash out over the length of the fight, but I think the gulfs in each other's games are too vast for either one of them to draw out the fight longer than two or three rounds, you know.
You know, I could see O'Malley trying to like time a knee as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. A knee, a front kick. He has a lot of tools on the feet.
Yeah, I was watching a couple of his fights, and I noticed he utilizes that knee a lot, like coming in.
Yeah, he's also got a beautiful uppercut. I mean, he's really good. He's a great fighter. Like, I think a lot of people don't give him the credit that he deserves because he's such a, you know, piece of shit and stupid personality. But he is a very good fighter. He's very crafty in there.
I don't see why people don't. I have no problem with him. That dude, he's like, to me, he's like not the same, but an equivalent to like Forrest Griffin, where it's like he plays a little bit up, but it's not a far offshoot from like who he is. And he'll take time to be like, you know, make fun of himself, you know, not take himself so seriously. So I'm like, all right, cool. I want to see someone like that win, where it's like, but that's a whole other thing.
I understand the comparison in that sense that neither of them take each other too seriously. But I think O'Malley hams it up for the camera a lot more. And, you know, just in general, he has a very punchable face. And I think that's what accredits like a lot of his hate that he gets, you know, the dyed hair and, you know, the tattoos and stuff. People, you know, he has that like bad boy look. You know what I mean? Like Tekashi 6ix9ine or some shit. Like, even if you didn't hear them talk, you'd be like, oh, this guy kind of looks like an idiot, you know?
Like, I want to punch him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's where a lot of the hate comes from.
He's making money off of it. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's doing a great job. I like the guy, you know, and I've been watching him since he came into the UFC, like off the Contender Series.
I didn't like him then. I'll tell you that. I didn't like him too much then. And then he has won me over time. So it's not something where, so his marketing is doing well for me.
No, yeah, he's good at marketing himself, but like you could see in those Contender Series fights, like this dude has some serious skills. You know what I mean? It's not just the talk; it's also the fluidity on the feet. And I think that's like going to be a big factor in this fight: is his fluidity on the feet. Because Aljamain does.
I would say that it would be very interesting to see Sean crack him early, and you know maybe put him on sea legs for a little bit, and see if he can't. Because you know if you get cracked early, then it takes a lot out of you. Or you know, if you're able to get a blitz going and you know put them on the back foot, you know. So he's definitely even I was reading something that Volk was saying. He has a saying that he has a puncher's chance, but like saying like for a puncher he has a puncher's chance, not just like a regular like anybody can knock. He's like if he catches him, he could put Aljo to sleep. So you know there's just you know high level people giving O'Malley credit on this.
Yeah, 100%. My only issue is that like. He's not really a one punch knockout guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you look at his
blitz. Yeah, he has to get that blitz going.
Yeah, he likes to wear people down and like, you know, most of his finishes are like in the second or third round. He does have some first round finishes, of course, especially on the early scene. But in the UFC, his only first round finishes were against like in Eddie Wineland's case, a very old fighter who was on his way out. And Holly and Piva's case, a flyweight that was moving up against Munoz. That was kind of bullshit. Against Jan, that was kind of bullshit. The Almeida fight, the Moutinho fight, the Quinones fight. These are fights where he breaks people down. I mean, Quinones, he got out of there early, but these are fights where he breaks people down and like wears on them over the course of the fight. So, I mean, I'm really interested to see if the fight does go longer. I think it might play into O'Malley's favor a bit. I mean, unless it's a Sterling grapple fest and he just sucks the life out of him. If it stays contentious for the first three rounds, I'd like to see how O'Malley builds because it does seem like he picks up reads in the octagon very well. And I could see him, you know, like compounding on some success if he has success early, figuring out how to stitch that together for the later rounds. I just don't know if it's going to get there.
Or just frustrating, you know, Aljo. If he can keep Aljo, you know, if he can defend a couple takedown attempts, and you know, catch him a couple of times, get some steam going. You know, you could definitely frustrate Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it plays out. But I mean, ultimately, I am going to pick Aljamain. I think I think he's going to get a finish. Honestly, I think we might be looking at this fight afterwards, similar to how we were looking at Darren Till versus Tyron Woodley. You know, if you remember that fight, Darren Till was super hyped up coming in there, had some favorable matchups getting to the title, but was you know knocking everybody out or at least winning against high-level fighters. Then he fought the champion who was super well-rounded and just got completely exposed in an area of his game that people hadn't seen yet. And I could see that happening here. I think Sterling can, you know, absolutely take down Sean O'Malley and just, you know, really expose him, for lack of a better term, you know, as hot button and, you know, clickbaity, that word is. It really, I could see it. That's what's going to happen. Like, I think Sterling's going to get him down, take his back, beat him up, and if not beat him up, just choke him out early, like first two rounds, get him out of there.
I feel think like he's going to be fighting a lot of definitely venom. I feel like the save money is definitely going to be on Aljo getting the finish by submission, but I'm definitely putting money on O'Malley to get it done just for the upset pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if I'm going to bet on O'Malley, I'm going to bet on him to win in the first and second round. Like maybe just throw $5 on that. There's probably a nice little prop there. But yeah, let's go down the rest of the card. There's a lot of other good fights to talk about here. I'm very excited for that main event, but there's some other ones that we got to touch on.
My girl, Wei Li.
Yeah, Wei Li Zhang versus Amanda Lemos. This is going to be a very interesting fight. Lemos, if you're not familiar, hits super hard. Has a very similar style to like Davison Figueiredo, where she stands very upright and throws every punch with just crazy venom. If the fight does get to the ground or if she gets, you know, shot on, she has a pretty nice like guillotine front headlock you know game there, but typically speaking that is the weak hole in her game. And Zhang Weili, as we all know, is super well-rounded, very powerful, very explosive. I'm really excited for this matchup. They have Weili as a heavy favorite here, and I think that's fair. Lemos was getting up there in the years, and it wasn't that long ago that we saw her get choked out by Jessica Andrade with that like hitman fucking assassination choke, the standing arm triangle. So I mean, I don't know. I feel like Weili's gonna get her down. I think she's gonna beat her up on the ground, maybe get to a position that Lemos can't get out of, or just wear her down and then find a submission. I like Weili by submission in this fight. She has a lot of submissions on her record. It's something that people don't talk about in her game. But that was like the part of her game that when she first came into UFC that I was very impressed with, especially in that fight with, I think it was Juliana Lima, or what was the girl's name? Jessica Aguilar. Yeah, she got her down and like put her in a triangle and elbowed her and then eventually finished it with an armbar. So she has 11 knockouts, 8 submissions, Weili Zhang. I see her getting the submission in this fight. I think that's the hole in Lemos's game, and I expect her to exploit it. She seems like the kind of fighter who knows to play to strengths. And yeah, that's the way I see it going down. Who you got in this one?
I'm definitely siding with Weili, but I could see Lemos, you know, putting her lights out, catching her with a good, you know, a good combo.
Yeah, I mean, Whaley's been knocked out before. She got knocked out by Rose Namajunas. She tends to
that was
take...
like that was a yeah. I feel you though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, she got caught clean like early with that fight, so I mean, you could, you know, chalk it up to a little bit of a fluke. I mean, maybe not a fluke, but you know, it was just very slick. that being said, though, she does kind of wade into the fire a lot, and she'll take some damage that she doesn't need to. You know, obviously the obvious example is the Yanni and Jacek fight. That second Rose fight as well, she took a lot of punishment. But even still, I think she's kind of turned a leaf since then. I think she is playing to her strengths in her matchups against Carla Esparza. She really, you know, showed some good wrinkles in her game in the grappling. And I expect her to pull that side of her game out again in this matchup and make it an easy night. You know, why go to war with somebody that hits so hard when you could just take them down and, you know, exploit their weaknesses there? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So I
fully expect her to win and set up the All China Strawweight Championship with what's my girl, Kia?
Yeah, and Xiao Nan.
Yeah, and Xiao Nan, that's my girl. I could see them set. I'd like to see her win and then set that up.
Yeah, I'd like to see that fight too. You know, I'm honestly surprised they didn't make it here. They gave Lemos the title shot.
I was surprised Lemos got put into this.
Yeah, they put her up there over Xiao Nan when Xiao Nan, you know, knocked out Andrade in the first round, and Lemos won what I thought was an early stoppage against Marina Rodriguez when they fought. So I mean, it's an interesting matchup, but I do think that Lemos is going to be on her way out soon. She's 36 years old versus Yan Xiaonan, who's like 32. So, I mean, there's still time to make that matchup. You know, maybe they want to build it up, put it on a China card. I think that'd be a really exciting matchup. If Weili wins, I expect that fight to happen.
Yeah, I think that's the next one.
Yeah. What's her name is knocking on the door, though. Tatiana Suarez. They'll probably put her near that title shot soon, too. I didn't realize Weili was 34 already. That's crazy. I thought she was only like 31. Yeah. All right.
A couple more again, fights. Dude.
Yeah, Neil Magny coming back on short notice to fight Ian Garry. I don't know what to do with this fight. This is one I've been waffling on. Ian Garry, obviously super long and lanky, talented striker. Kind of similar to O'Malley in that sense, where you know he gets a lot of shit for, you know, the way that he talks and stuff like that. But he is actually a very talented fighter. He's fighting Neil Magny, who is the consummate gatekeeper professional, loves to use that clinch game, wear on people against the fence and just make it very uncomfortable for them in the octagon. The more ugly the fight gets, it's better for Magny. If the fight stays clean, I imagine Ian Garry pitching damn near a shutout in this fight. I don't know if he's going to get it done, dude. I don't know. I like Neil Magny at underdog odds in general. He has the most decision victories in UFC history. So as the fight goes on, it just plays into his favor more and more. And like you look at his record and the people that he loses to, it's a very specific brand. You know what I mean? He's losing to these strong grapplers like Shavkat Rakhmonov, Michael Chiesa, Gilbert Burns, Damian Maia, Dos Anjos. You know, all these guys have that grappling game in their back pocket. The exceptions being Lorenz Larkin and Santiago Ponzinibbio, who are huge power strikers and very strong with their kicks. Ian Garry's not that strong with his kicks. He's more of a boxer. and likes to stay on the outside and kind of pepper away at guys. He has a nice head kick, roundhouse kick, but doesn't have that kind of explosiveness that Ponzinibbio and Larkin did when they fought Magny. Of course, that was like a long time ago, and Magny's obviously gotten a lot older since then. But if this fight ends up on the ground or ends up in a clinch position, I could see Magny having a lot of success. Gary is a lot faster. He's a lot younger, obviously. So he might just have that athletic advantage and just, you know, be able to exploit that and be a lot quicker than Magny on the feet. Yeah, I don't know who to go with on this fight, but the underdog odds are so strong on Magny. I think I'm going to have to throw a little something on him, just like 10 bucks or something, just to see what happens. I know I'm always betting against Ian Gary, and he's always proven me wrong, but I just feel like this is a very big step up in competition. Magny has a very interesting style that I think is going to be tough for Gary to solve. You know, maybe on short notice, it plays into Gary's strengths a bit because Magny doesn't have time to really study him. But if this is a Neil Magny fight, I think he's going to get it done. You know, I think Gary has to play a very safe and be very cautious on the outside and very mobile, which I trust him to do. But I just don't really see him hurting or putting away Magny. It's been a long time since he's been knocked out or even really hurt in a fight. So I imagine if Gary does win, it'll be by decision. So maybe I'll just go for the fight to go the distance because both of them exactly, are kind of decision fighters.
That's what I was leaning toward. Like, I feel I want to say Magny's going to win, you know, death taxes and Neil Magny by decision, but I might just have to change it to death taxes and Neil Magny in a decision.
Yeah. You know?
Cause he has that style to where it's going to drag out. Although he is getting older, man, you know, somebody's eventually going to clip him.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen him really get hurt. Like, I mean, the Ponzinibbio fight, he got rocked to shit. Shavkat Rakhmonov landed some good strikes on him, but it was mostly his grappling that got it done that fight. I don't know. I think I'm going to go for the fight to go decision. Ian Gary likes the longer paced fight. You know, he finished Song Yadong in the third round. He went to decision with Darian Weeks and Gabriel Green. You know, it's really these like reckless fighters that he'll get out of there early, like Daniel Rodriguez, who will just wait into the fire. And, it's the other guy that he knocked out early. Jordan,
you know,
Williams.
Screw it. I'm gonna say Magny by decision. I'm gonna ride with my boy.
Yeah. I mean, I think as the fight goes on, Magny's gonna be able to wear him down a little bit. I do expect this fight to go longer though, on either side. So I'm just gonna go the bet for the fight to go the distance. But I like the Magny decision, but it'll probably be some nice odds too, because he's an underdog in this fight. So yeah, I think that's a good pick.
I see Ian Gary winning the first round and then Magny getting just enough in the second and then dominating in the third. Or not really dominating, dominating in the Neil Magny sense of dominating as far as you know, pushing him up against the fence for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And landing some nice elbows or a takedown or two. I'd love to see that. I mean, I love Neil Magny. I'm not a big Gary fan, but I like the fight to go the distance. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you listen to the pod, I'm always picking Magny. I'm always picking against Gary. So, yeah.
Seems right.
All right. What else we got here? Thank God Cody Garbrandt fell out of his fight. He's not fighting Mario Bautista now. It's Damon Blackshear, who's coming off a twister win last week. So, obviously, very quick notice turnaround for Damon Blackshear. He's fighting Mario Bautista. This is a very interesting matchup for Blackshear to try to jump through the rankings very quickly. I like the matchup. I do think it favors Bautista. He has a very well-rounded game, but I love the gall out of Blackshear to come back that quickly.
Yeah, and try to put a stamp on it. Dude did just fight last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a twister like in the first round. It was fucking sick, dude. It was really dope.
Said, you're good to go, dude.
Yeah, where he's like, oh no, it's the other guy that got fucked up. You'll be all right. But yeah, I'm not really sure to pick in that fight. I'm leaning towards Bautista. I don't know what the odds are, though. So I'm down to just keep going down the card. Marlon Vera versus Pedro Munhoz. Super exciting bantamweight fight there. Oh, man, I don't know. Marlon Vera has that edge in the length, 100%. He's so much longer and taller than Pedro Munhoz, and he uses that length with his elbows and his knees and his kicks. Pedro Munhoz is just a lot more active, and I think that might be a difference maker in this fight. Munhoz will throw a ton of calf kicks. He'll throw a lot of, you know, jabs and feints and, you know, just stay active, whereas Vera kind of, in these last few fights especially, tends to wait for the fight to get to him, and that's cost him some decisions and cost him some fights in his career. I think, you know, he's coming off that fight against Corey Sandhagen where he kind of got, you know, froze to death. And if he is, you know, trying to get back in the win column, I think he really needs to come out hot and, you know, really put the pace on this fight. And I could see him doing that. I could see him winning a fight against Pedro Munhoz over the three rounds by just kind of outworking him in the second and third round. But what I'm worried about is that he doesn't have that fire lit under his ass and just kind of gets beat to the punch by Munhoz. But if he uses his front kicks, if he uses his leg kicks, uses his knees and times everything nicely, there's no reason that he can't, you know, win a decision here. I never pick anybody to finish Pedro Munhoz. He's fucking so tough, dude. I can't think of a time that he got finished. Let me check his record. Yeah, he's never been finished. So, I mean, if Vera does win, I expect it to be by decision. If Pedro wins, same deal, because Munhoz is also, Vera's really tough as well. So, yeah, I mean, both these guys are fucking rock golems. It's hard for them to get put away. So I expect this fight to go the distance. And I think I like Marlon Vera as the fight goes down the stretch. But this is a dangerous fight for him. You know, don't get it twisted. The rankings, there's a big gulf in the rankings between these two guys. But I think the matchup is a lot closer than that. So I'm interested for it. I'm going to go Vera by decision, but I could definitely see Munhoz picking it up.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna stay out of this one, but I'm excited for, you know, I feel like this is gonna be a very high octane fight. Man, bantamweight division is getting put on display on this main card.
Yeah, man, I'm not complaining about it. Three fights at bantamweight and a women's strawweight title fight. Like, you can't ask for much more. Those are some of the deepest weight classes in the UFC. Let's get into these prelims, though. There's some fucking really good fights here. Chris Weidman is coming back. I don't know what to think about it because his leg got snapped in 10 seconds in his last fight. And that was, what, 2 years ago? Like, he had the whole rehab since then. And, yeah, that was in 2021. So, I mean, it's only been 2 years. I hope he's okay. I'm worried about him. He's fighting Brad Tavares. I mean, even if his leg didn't snap, his chin has just been, like, dog shit the last few fights that he's had. And Brad Tavares is one to test the chin. Tavares himself is on a slow streak these last few years as well. Got finished by who was that that finished him? Dricus du Plessis, and then his last fight, Bruno Silva. So
did du Plessis finish him?
No, I think actually that went to decision, but he kind of beat the shit out of him in that fight. Yeah, du Plessis is a dog, man. But yeah, I don't know. This is a tough matchup. Brad Tavares is a huge favorite.
Chris Weidman's 39 coming back from all this. And I know what I would like to see. I'd like to see Chris Weidman go out there and, you know, be back to normal. But I know that's not how anatomy and biology works. And so I don't want this. I am excited that he's back, but I don't want to end up looking back on this being like, oh, this was just a slow decline of someone that probably should have, like,
gave up a long time ago. Yeah,
exactly.
And here's my thing, right? I like Weidman. And, you know, at this stage in his career, obviously, like we said, the chin is very faulty. But he does have a great wrestling and jiu-jitsu background, you know? But the problem is in this fight is that Brad Tavares has, like, I think 90% takedown defense. It's very hard to take him down. So even if Weidman can get, like, you know, hypothetically, he can get that grappling game going, it's hard to take down Tavares. And when you do get him down, he's never been submitted. And he's fought some really good grapplers at middleweight. You know, he's fought the Shoe Faces, the Omari Akhmedovs, du Plessis, we were just talking about, Talis Latis. You know, he's fought Yoel Romero and all these guys that are really good on the ground. And he's never been finished there. So I just feel like it's a really tough matchup for Weidman. You know, even like Prime versus Prime, I take Weidman 10 out of 10 times because his prime was insane. But I don't think he's anywhere near that anymore. Neither guys are really. But I think the skill set that they're left with right now favors Tavares. And I think it favors Tavares by knockout, unfortunately. As much as I don't want to see it and I don't want to say it, I think Weidman is kind of foolish for coming back this quick after the injury. And if not even for the injury, just in general coming back, because it seems like his decline was very fast. You know, the flame went out quickly. And
it happens, man. It happens.
Yeah, man. It is what it is. That's the game.
You got to say you knocked out fucking Anderson Silva, dude. That's
at the height.
That's a pretty good one to call a day on.
Yeah, word. I mean, even that victory over like Vitor Belfort, Lyoto Machida, technically,
I mean, if not ironically, he beat him twice with a, you know, snapping leg.
That check. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was doing well in that fight before that injury, but yeah, man, I just, yeah, I that was like 10 years ago, you know?
When is the last one he got? He beat Kevin Gastelum.
He beat Omari Akhmedov in a very shitty fight by out-wrestling him. But, you know, again, Tavares is a great defensive grappler. So I'm going to take Tavares here. It sucks. I think he's going to knock him out, honestly. I think he can catch the chin. If not, maybe even, you know, that injury might resurface. I hate to see it, but.
I'm going to say Tavares by finish.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. A couple other fights.
It hurts to say. Some of these
hurt. You don't want to see it. You know what I mean?
Really don't. That's the hard part about this sport, too, is watching the ones that stay. We talk about it all the time, the ones where it's like, man, I loved you so much, but it's really hard to see you get. Yeah, it's time to go, dude.
Tony Ferguson. We're
thank God Cody Garbrandt got spared.
Yeah, for real. That was going to be a fucking slaughter. I don't know why they booked it in the first place. Couple other good fights on these prelims. I mean, all these fights are fucking exciting, dude, honestly. Gregory Rodriguez is coming back versus Dennis Tallulin. I expect Rodriguez to come back into his winning ways and get Tallulin out of there. Tallulin's not really UFC caliber, in my opinion, and Rodriguez certainly is. It's going to be an exciting fight, though, nonetheless. And then we got the Ultimate Fighter finales. I don't know if you've been watching this season at all, Jordan?
No.
It was McGregor versus Chandler. It was pretty cool. They did like veterans versus prospects and all the veterans won. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, no, I did see that one and I was very surprised that that was questionable.
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird marketing ploy, but you know, clearly in this game, experience is a motherfucker, as we've talked about for, you know, years. And it was no surprise to see all the veterans do well, but we got a matchup of those veterans in this, in these prelims. We got Austin Hubbard versus Kurt Hollibaugh. Austin Hubbard, very slick striker, decent defensive grappler, but that is definitely his weak point, is his grappling. At least it has been in the past. On the Ultimate Fighter, he's looked very improved. He's fighting Kurt Hollibaugh, who is just a dog in every sense of the word. The dude comes out, pushes forward, throws big punches, tries to get you down and wear you down and grind you out. Definitely a grinder. If I had to like pick a style for him, he had some tough losses in the UFC. Fought some really good guys. He lost to Hany Barcelos, Shane Burgos, and Thiago Moises, who have all been ranked at one point or another. So no shame in losing to those guys. But you know, Hubbard, I just feel like has a higher ceiling. He's the younger fighter, and I expect him to get it done here. And then they got Brad Katona versus Cody Gibson. Cody Gibson, another guy that fought really tough dudes in the UFC and, you know, had a kind of like a back and forth career there. And now after that has gone on a pretty decent win streak these last couple of years and just looks really fucking good. In the Ultimate Fighter, he looked really good. He threw like flying knees and had like a really dominant top game. He's fighting Brad Katona, who is one of the more boring fighters that I've ever seen, but super effective in that style. He likes slowing down the fight, using his grappling, using his volume striking, and, you know, just winning by decision. I think most of his wins are by, 8 out of 12 of his wins are by decision. So it's rare that he gets a finish. Another guy that lost to some tough dudes in the UFC, lost to Hunter Azor and Mirab Dvalishvili, and they cut him because of that boring style. But honestly, I do think that style is proven, and I think it's going to get it done against Cody Gibson. I see him wearing him down over the three rounds and getting a decision victory there.
I hate seeing that happen. I hate seeing somebody get cut because their style isn't like...
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. But, I mean, that's the game, you know? If you don't talk shit and your style is like that, then you're probably not going to get those high-level spots, you know? You have to have, like, an interesting personality if your fighting style is not going to be that good. I mean, look at Colby Covington. Look at Sean Strickland. You know what I mean? Like, if these dudes didn't talk the way they talk, there's no way they'd get the main events that they did, you know,
based on the fighting style. The crazy thing is, Sean Strickland getting the main event, I'm not upset at it because of the way that he talks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you watch his fights, though, I mean... They kind of suck. Like, the dude's just pawing out jabs, and it's like a sparring match every time. You know?
Yeah, so, like, I'm all right with it. I'm just like, all right, throw him in there with Izzy.
He talks, and he's like, oh, I'm going to murder. I want to kill. And he gets in there, and it's just jab, 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 jab. But, yeah, early prelims, there's a couple really cool fights. Andre Petroski versus Gerald Meerschaert, a couple of very strong grapplers, and one of them is a lot faster on the feet, so I'm siding with him and Petroski. Andrea Lee versus Natalia Silva. They're trying to kill off Lee here, given her Natalia Silva, who's surging, coming off of a head kick knockout not too long ago, and just generally very good striker. I think this is actually a very tough matchup, much tougher than the odds imply. Anjali Lee is a tough customer, and she can scrap in every phase of the fight. I don't know if I'm going to pick her, but I like her at underdog odds, so I might just throw $5 on her. And then Karina Silva versus Marina Moroz on the starter fight here. Marina Moroz has looked really good and then just got, you know, completely stopped in her tracks by the improved boxing of Jennifer Maya. She's fighting Karina Silva, who's been fighting with some serious fire in this weight class. Again, I'm not really sure who to pick. Apparently, this is a rematch, though. They fought on the regional scene where I think it was Karina that won. Let me find out. Let me check the record, bud. No, Marina Moroz won by armbar in the third, in the first. So I mean, maybe that gulf is still there, but Karina has definitely improved a lot since that fight, and Moroz has kind of maybe not fallen off, but she's definitely gotten older. So it's gonna be an interesting fight. Not really sure who to pick on that. I might go that it doesn't go to the decision though, because both of them kind of fight with some fire under their ass, and I could see that fight getting finished before the final bell. Yeah, let's get into this betting slip, man. There's a lot of really interesting fights on this card. We could talk about it for hours, but you know, we're running out of time over here. You know, we got to let the people get back to their business, you know. So let's get to it.
We're heavy finish on this main card.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, honestly, dude, the way they make these cards up, they want that to happen, you know. So I don't think it's that crazy to bet on fights to go to the finish. But what are your what are your picks here, Jordan? Who you got?
I got Aljo by submission. I got Wei Li by finish because I think she could hit a TKO finish as well. I got Neil Magny by decision. And then see Pedro Munez. I'm not sure. I think I'm going to stay out of that fight. I got Weidman to get knocked out by Tarvis. I think that's it for me. There's one more I was looking at, but I can't remember it. I might pop up in a second. Go ahead.
Rodriguez or...
It might be Rodriguez. I don't know. I'll get back at you.
Ain't no thing. But yeah, going down the card, I'm going to take Aljo by finish. I'm going to take Wei Li by submission. I'm going to take the Machado-Magny fight to go to the distance. I'm going to stay out of the Blackshear-Bautista fight. I'm going to put Marlon Vera by decision, Tavares by knockout, and Rodriguez by finish. I think these are some pretty solid picks here. On the Ultimate Fighter finishes, or finales rather, I'm going to go Hubbard and Katona. I don't know how they're going to get done, but I just feel like they work harder than the other guy, and I think they'll get decision victories, if anything.
I do say that my upset pick is going to Sean O'Malley to get it done by possible KO.
If I got to go an upset pick, I think I'm going to go with Neil Magny. I think at plus 350 or so, I think it's kind of crazy to have him there.
At plus 350?
Yeah, if not that, it might be like plus 270. But regardless, like, I mean, he is coming off of really short notice, but he's just fought in a lot of really good dudes in there, you know, some of the best in the world. So I think it's crazy.
He's at that point where I feel like he's pretty much just perpetually at this, like, his ready to go state. You know what I mean?
Yeah, facts. Yeah, he knows what his style is. He knows what he's doing. He could do it on short notice.
Yeah, he's done this 39 times.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, another upset pick is probably Andrea Lee on the prelims. I think she can get it done just on the volume. But yeah, I'm excited for this fight card, man. There's some really good fights here. I really like the Whaley by submission fight, or by submission pick, rather. I could see her getting Lemos down and finishing her there. And I think it's like plus 600, so... I'm taking that pick for sure. But, yeah,
and then
yeah.
The next fight card after that, we got Max Holloway, Korean Zombie.
Oh, that's rough, dude. Fucking sanctioned murder. Like, there's some good fights on that card, though. Giga Chikadze versus Alex Caceres, Anthony Smith versus Brian Spann. They're fighting again. That's weird.
Yeah. Aaron Blanchfield's on there.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Blanchfield versus Santos. That should be the main event. This is bullshit. I mean, how are you going to put them over Holloway? I get it, but that's a fucking title eliminator in a very contentious weight class.
We should revolt.
Yeah, I'm gonna fire up my pitchfork right now.
TKO rides with women here, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Word. What's going on? Get the fucking number one contender fight over the legends that are signing each other up for murder. Yeah, dude, I'm excited though. That's a good fight card. This fight card coming up is very exciting. There's some really good fights there, so I can't wait to get into it and talk about it on the recap. I appreciate y'all listening. Hopefully we make some money this weekend. We did pretty well last week. We had, or at least I on the solo pod, I picked some really good picks.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to call this out, but since we're going to mention it, you faded Cub Swanson, and he finally...
I thought he lost. No, I thought he lost.
I think he won, didn't he?
I mean, he did win on the scorecards, but watching the fight, I had Hakeem. I was hurt.
Cub Swanson won.
You know, my brother says that Cub Swanson won. I rewatched it. It was a lot closer than I thought it was, but I still feel like Hakeem did enough. But either way, that one was tough. The other picks were solid. I'm excited to see how this one shakes out. I think we're gonna see some dominant performances by our champions this weekend. Let's hope so, at least. All right, thank you so much for listening, y'all. Take it easy. Ride with us. Do the round robins. Let's get this bread this weekend. And appreciate you for listening. Take it easy, folks.